Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
For me personally, I love it because guys are just going to get to sleep a little bit longer. And we're going to stress to them, rather than having an alarm clock wake you up in the morning, get up when you get up. Come to the ballpark when it's time to work.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Marks and Reese on Gabe Kapler returning to Philadelphia Day. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. And it's also 23 years ago today, the Philadelphia Eagles drafted Ike Reese, as the Eagles just tweeted out from their official Twitter account. Ikey, what's up?
Johnny Marks, holla at your boy.
Double those balls up.
You need to get some incidentals and accidentals from the Eagles for constantly using stealing Wentz.
Wentz wagon.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I did the Wentz wagon then.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, it's a one big family. It's all under this umbrella.
As long as you're okay with it, I don't really care because I'm not profiting from it.
But I didn't see a hype video for Trot yesterday Trey.
I have nothing to do with that. That's not me.
Nope. Yes. Attached is a video, a hype video for Mike Reese. We will play that before the show is over for sure. Don't go anywhere. And by the way,
I didn't notice was the day I got drafted, Johnny Marks. I did not know that. I knew it was somewhere in this area.
Yes.
One of these days.
So when you call in today, make sure you thank Ike for his service.
Yes. Yes, it is a requirement. He's been here 23 years officially. So thank you for his service as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he still wears that Eagle green on his sleeve,
man,
to this day.
Yes, sir.
So listen, we want to talk about Gabe to start, but I just want to say this because I had a lot of people that were messaging me in anger or like, you still think Aaron Noah's not an ace, Marks? This one guy created a bogus account with no following, and nobody's following him or following anybody.
Right.
Just to direct message me that yesterday. And I told him, I said, the same kind of energy when he stinks next time. Aaron Nola yesterday had an unbelievable outing, like ace worthy. It's exactly what we were talking about. Kind of like, you win the series 2 out of 3. You get, that's a big win right there. So I don't want to feel like that people are going to be like, oh, so you're not going to mention that. Aaron Nola was great yesterday. We'll talk about the Phillies.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I will admit, it did cross my mind yesterday.
Yes.
I didn't know. I'm like, okay, is this an ace worthy performance? I didn't know. And I wasn't necessarily thinking about you. I'm just thinking about, because you're not the only one who said that. But I don't really know what an ace is, and I'm going to keep it that way. But all I know is that an ace performance yesterday, Jack?
That was an ace performance yesterday, Jack. Right?
That's what you pay your ace to do.
Okay, I didn't know.
It was one of those, you got to stop the bleeding a little bit.
Stop the bleeding, okay. That's what an ace does, right? He's
and
a
that's
stopper.
That's what he did in 2018 when he did 2.37 ERA. I'd just like to point out, Aaron Nola's ERA is now 2.28. Is that good, bad? I don't know.
It's very good.
It's very good.
Listen, winning 2 of 3 with your ace doing what he did yesterday as opposed to losing 2 of 3 with Gabe Kapler coming in, it's a big difference, right?
Oh, man, it's a big difference with this guy coming in today.
Exactly. Gabe. Coming in today. All right, let me just say this from the start. I think we can all agree that we obviously weren't fair to Gabe Kapler, right? We can all admit that, Ike.
Well, I mean, not me, but I think there were people who were not necessarily fair to Gabe Kapler.
Right. Like, I'm not, because we were.
I don't fall in that category.
We were Gabe fans. We were supportive of Gabe. We also criticized Gabe when he deserved to be criticized. I also think that we realized.
Which was often.
Very often. And we also realized that bringing Joe Girardi in and Gabe going elsewhere, I was totally fine with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like that Gabe's time had expired here as Philly's manager. But I think we'd have to admit that. What happened with Gabe Kapler when he was here? Everybody wanted to blame Gabe Kapler. Like, oh, he's managing with an iPad. No, and he's doing this and he's doing that. He doesn't have a feel. He's not a real baseball guy. that was a flawed roster, an incompetent GM that's since been fired, an embarrassing team president. I mean, think about this. Andy McPhail was hired as the baseball guy in this organization, right? Like, just like the same way Dave Dombrowski's been hired, except he's still involved in baseball operations. Even though he is a GM, he's the architect of this team, right? Andy McPhail, literally, like, he wasn't even involved in baseball, right? So you had a president of baseball that didn't want to be involved in baseball. You had an incompetent and inexperienced GM that was terrible and made terrible moves. You had a team that wasn't good enough. The team just wasn't good enough. But because he wouldn't rip his players publicly, because he was a little bit odd, we decided that Gabe Kapler was the enemy, and he was the reason that the Phillies weren't winning. By the way, last year, lost 7-8 to end the season. Joe Girardi, they didn't make the playoffs. Joe Girardi made the same mistake last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, going out and for a second time with Zach Wheeler and going to the mound and saying, whoops, I screwed up. He screwed up. It's okay. Gabe Kapler did the same thing. Fire him on the spot. Fire him on the spot. At least let's just admit that he probably wasn't a good personality for this town just because of the way that he was. But, like, I don't think the town was fair to Gabe Kapler. I don't. I don't think they ever were. Angelo had him on every week. He stood up to Angelo. He answered the bell every time. He never called his team out. He never called his players out. Joe Girardi doesn't either. They're doing the same thing.
Well, hustling isn't an issue. We haven't had that.
True.
Lack of running to first base. See, the problem is, and you've already stated, I like Gabe while he was here. But I do understand that he brought a lot of that heat on himself. Sure, you know, when he communicates with us the way in which he did, it at times left you feeling like, is he talking to us or does he feel like he's talking to a computer machine? Like, what is he talking about? We're human beings. We understand baseball. We've been watching baseball for years. All of a sudden, there's a different way that I should be watching baseball and understanding what my eyes are telling me. And because you use a lot of fancy words and you use too many damn words to explain something, you feel like you're talking circles around us. And that was never going to play well. So you take his on-field managing style and the way that he communicated with everybody, and then when things didn't go well, as opposed to holding people accountable, you make lame excuses as if we're not going to be smart enough to understand what we're seeing out there. So you're basically playing or toying with or questioning our intelligence as baseball fans. That's why I think he did deserve the pushback and the criticism that he received. It wasn't so much for what he was doing on the field. We know baseball managers can only help so much. But that was a team that was talented enough to at least be closer to getting into the playoffs. He also folded down the stretch in those seasons. So I'm not saying what happened with Joe Girardi last year excuses what happened with Gabe Kapler 2 years in a row. He had situations, in-game situations, that he didn't handle well, and then he compounded the issue by the way he tried to explain it afterwards, as opposed to just being upfront and honest. You don't have to rip your players, but don't try to tell us running to first base isn't important and you don't have to hustle all the time. And that's unrealistic to expect somebody to do that. We didn't need to hear that from our manager. And that trio you just mentioned, when you throw in Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak, all three together, whether he was parroting what they were saying or they were pushing his buttons, what have you, they never gave us a different message. And everything we got coming out of the building said to the fan base, you don't know what you're talking about. We do. Trust us. And that wasn't going to fly. That wasn't going to fly. And so he left himself with very little room for error. He left himself with that because he knew the better way. They knew the better way. What we were saying didn't matter. Having a closer didn't matter. As a high-leverage reliever, it doesn't matter who starts or closes. Like, all this nonsense. It was nonsense. And he never adapted or adjusted to that. When you're in this city, you had better adjust to your paying customer and this fan base. And they felt as if they were going to change the way everybody else thought, and that everybody was just going to eventually go the way in which they think. And that just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right in that not only the GM, not only the manager, but the GM both, unfortunately, were inexperienced and not ready to deal with a city like Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And you're right. In a lot of cities, you can say, no, hang on, this is the way it is, and you should be accepting of my answer. And then we move on. And that's not the way that we operate here, right? Like,
no.
when when Urban Meyer was at Ohio State, he could say, no, I'm keeping the strength and conditioning coach because that's what I want to do and everything's fine. He goes to Jacksonville in the NFL, he can't do the same thing. And they say, no, there's pushback, right?
Yes.
So you can't, they misjudged the city. Gabe really wasn't sure, didn't know what he was getting into. But here's what I'll also say about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he cared. He tried.
Yeah.
He gave thoughtful answers to where if he would have been short and not said anything.
Probably cared too much. Right?
He did. He did. Like, he really cared about going on with Angelo every week and being prepared and giving thoughtful answers because he believed, and he said this many times, that he believed the fans deserved to know what he was thinking and what went into his decisions, et cetera. Unfortunately, we didn't like his answers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we didn't like his answers. A lot of people felt like he spoke over our heads and he was speaking, you know, not to us, but at us, right?
Yep.
And I think a lot of that also came from Matt Klentak. Like, Matt Klentak certainly had more of an edge when speaking about the fans or to the media than Gabe Kapler did. Gabe Kapler cared and he tried. Matt Klentak treated us like, what are you talking about? I know what I'm talking about. I'm a GM. You're not. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, obviously.
When they did the whole we don't thing. Like, and, they did that whole thing.
Andy McPhail, who's been in baseball for 50 years, says, if we don't, we don't.
Yeah.
If we don't, we don't.
Right.
You can't do that here, man. You can't do that here. So what you basically did is you've taken away any rope that the city might want to give you. You've basically taken all that away. So you had better be right. You had better be absolutely right in what you're doing. You had better win or out. No patience for you. No patience for you.
He didn't just struggle to gain acceptance from the fan base in the city. He just didn't gain acceptance from the fan base. And, it was just with the first game that he was managing when he took Aaron Nola. Was that the first game?
With the first game.
Yes. It was the first game. And it was still the best day of radio ever because me and Julio came on after. And it was full lines for 3 hours.
And people were obviously not happy with Gabe Kapler.
Not happy at all.
All right, so listen, we take calls in the first segment at 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. I think I can say, and I don't think I was unfair to Gabe Kapler. In fact, I know that I wasn't. I was more supportive than anybody but last name Julio of Gabe Kapler. But we can admit that we probably weren't fair to Gabe Kapler. Ike, you think most fans out there will call in today and say, you know what? You know what, Marks and Reese, you're right. I probably was unfair to Gabe Kapler.
That's interesting. I don't know. I don't. You know what? No, I don't think people will call in and say that.
Correct answer.
Yes.
Jack, do you think we're going to have phones ringing off the hook of people that want to call up and say, you know what? Yes, I agree. Unfair to Gabe Kapler.
No, because I don't know, like I don't think they realize how good Gabe has been out in San Francisco, so they just think he hasn't been the same.
Oh, how good has he been?
He's 3-6. 9-6 this year.
Oh,
terrible roster last year, just as good as the Phils. I mean,
here's the difference, right? They actually have a GM out there that knows what the hell he's doing, like right, like okay. So the dynamic of the GM that's really telling the manager what to do. The problem here was the GM didn't know what the hell he was doing, telling the manager what to do. Right, so it works out there because they actually have a true baseball ops, and here you had Matt Klentak. So, like, of all the things that get me angry about the Phillies over the last 3 years, not including this year, that very little of it has to do with negativity towards Gabe Kapler. It's McPhail and Klentak. Andy McPhail was hired to come in here and rebuild the Phillies. Meanwhile, he's not even involved in baseball decisions. And an inexperienced Matt Klentak now is making all the baseball decisions? Like, that's pathetic. It is. So, like, where were the Phillies when they didn't make the playoffs? It had very little to do with Gabe Kapler. It was the roster. Odubel Herrera's making $10-plus million a year. Jake Arrieta. You know, if Gabe Kapler had to trot Jake Arrieta throwing meatballs down the middle of the plate or being hurt. So I don't blame Gabe Kapler for any of the struggles that happened over the course of the his 2 years here. I look to the rest of the organization.
You don't blame me for any of them?
No!
Holy smokes!
Well, I mean, Joe Girardi didn't make the playoffs last year. They lost 7-8, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to blame Joe Girardi for that. The team wasn't good enough.
Right.
215-592-9494. Just, do you think that you were fair to Gabe Kapler in his 2 years here? Let's go to the phones. Ron in Montgomery County. Ron and Monco, how are you?
You're starting the week out strong, buddy.
What's up, brother?
Yo, are you defending Gabe Kapler? I had to call to clarify.
I would have to defend him against something, right? I'm not defending him. I'm making an observation, which was I don't think the majority of the fan base were fair to him.
Okay, Johnny, if the conversation is about Gabe Kapler – You got to separate him from management. You can't, because they are connected. So if the conversation's about him, no. The guy needed to be run out of town. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The guy, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say, I wasn't a Philly guy, I wasn't this guy, I wasn't that guy. The guy was a bad manager. Okay? He wasn't a great manager. He had no feel. Okay? He had no feel on his players. Good or bad, he didn't have a feel on his players.
Would you agree that the biggest issue with the Phillies in his 2 years was the talent on the field, not the managing?
Listen, I just said, you have to separate. Of course it was a bad team. They've been bad since 2011. This is just another chapter in the Phillies' history of abominations, okay?
Okay, so you wanted him to win with a bad team?
Listen, he didn't win anything.
I know!
He didn't win nothing. And listen, he's exactly where he needs to be, with the Fruit Loops on the West Coast. That's where he needs to be. And then, you know what? Maybe he'll do good over there. But listen, don't let loose on my leg and tell me it's raining. Don't defend. Listen, who, remember Man Bun? Who was that kid that played?
Man Bun?
Man Bun. The kid, the little Latin kid with the little Man Bun. What was his name?
Was he? Who?
Ron has already made me nervous several times already during this.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
When he said Fruit Loops on the West Coast.
Yes,
Bryce Harper out.
Right. Yeah, like what Ron's trying to turn this into is that of me saying that Gabe Kapler shouldn't have been let go. Frankly, to me, that's not even the discussion, because when he was let go, I felt like it was the right time. All right. What I'm saying is that Gabe Kapler was treated by the fan base that the only thing that was wrong with the Phillies was Gabe Kapler. And we already know that that's not the case. That's not the case. All I heard for what we heard for two straight years was Gabe Kapler, Gabe Kapler, Gabe Kapler. And thank God, mm-hmm. gave us something to talk about. He was a really, really interesting personality. But look at the team last year. Look at the team where it is right now. Right now, they're a fringe playoff team with, you know, they look at the roster. They've tried to improve the roster. They threw a lot of money at this roster. Look at the bad moves that Matt Clint had made. Look at the amount of money that they spent. Right? So, I'm not saying that Gabe Kapler overachieved and he couldn't have done more. Yeah, if you could have had a different manager in there, I suppose they could have done more. But, let's be honest, that wasn't a playoff team. And he didn't manage them to the playoffs. They came close.
Yeah, but how much did he have to do with that?
To not making the playoffs?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Well, when you get what are you talking about, a 500 ball club?
Yeah, I think he was one game under 500 in his 2 years.
So I'm looking at their records, right? And I know numbers on a blank sheet of paper don't tell the whole story, but if you look at the runs scored for the Phillies in Gabe's final season, that's the most runs they had scored since 2009. They scored more runs that year than they did in the year they lost to the Giants in the NLCS, and the year that they won 102 games. They actually scored more runs in Gabe's final year.
So he must have been doing a good job.
Yeah, that's me saying that the team wasn't as bad as you're trying to make it out to be. In other words, he had enough talent there to at least win some of those games that they didn't win. And then maybe he is in the playoffs. If they put up 774 runs that year, and that's the most runs since 2009 when they had 820, I mean, could the talent have been that depleted when two of those teams made it to the NLCS and the other team won 102 games in 1 year?
So I'd say year one was the pitching fell apart late. If you remember back, they were a playoff team up until, I believe, August when they took. But that's also when the starting pitching went. And then 2019, listen, I can't say that he was doing a great job managing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what you've seen from Joe Girardi last year, and again, it's a shortened season, I get that. But the team did the same thing that it did last year in Gabe's years. They just kind of fell apart at the end of the season. So, I mean, if no one wants to blame Joe Girardi for going out to a second mound visit for Zach Wheeler, they act like that doesn't happen. But Gabe Kapler does it, and it's a fireable offense. So I just want consistency here, right? We weren't consistent with Gabe Kapler because it was more about the way he spoke at the press conferences.
Sure.
That's what it was about. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think if we're being honest, we can't ignore the ability to communicate with this fan base and relate to the fan base That's part of playing in Philadelphia, man.
You're right.
You had better win at a high level if that isn't of high importance to you. But this fan base, we want to know that the manager of the baseball team or the coach of the football team, the basketball team, or the hockey team understands how much the teams mean to us, and getting that across to us in a way that it seems as if we're all on the same team, as opposed to you guys don't know what you're talking about. Let the baseball people over here handle this. Yeah, I know this is the way you used to do things, but this is the way we're going to do it moving forward. We know better. Like, you can't have that attitude and then don't win, because you're going to get it tenfold. The criticism's going to come twice as bad, right? I mean, that's just what it is. Whether it was bad messaging from the top on down, either way, those three are connected. If you want to say Gabe was giving their message, okay, well, he should have had enough stones to be able to speak up.
Yeah.
And speak for himself.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can't have it both ways. That's what I say with Howie. Like, you can't say what Jeffrey Lurie's doing this. Well, okay, if you don't want to be told what to do, then you don't have to take the job.
Right. That's part of the job. Yes. No, you're right. You're right. I feel like the more Gabe spoke, the harder he made it for himself, because I believe he thought that he was trying to speak and people would recognize that, right? Trying to be thoughtful and just speaking too much ended up hurting him. Mm-hmm. And it hurt him because he wasn't going to throw his guys under the bus.
That's where the biggest issue came, because when it came to
Segura,
guys wanted someone, the media, they're asking for guys to be held accountable or what have you. And when you don't, and you go the other route of trying to protect them, you just made it worse.
Well, and also, Klentak did the same thing that he did. And, yep. And remember, I asked Klentak at spring training, and because it was like, all right, Joe Girardi's now the manager, and I asked him that if he had any regrets to how that situation was handled, and he got so mad, and he just had the face of like, no, I don't give you. Like, listen, dude, that was a big deal. That was a big deal, and you handled it wrong, and you should have been guiding him. Like Matt Klentak should have been guiding him, like, hey, I think this is how we should handle it. Because honestly, all Gabe did was probably what Matt Klentak told him to do.
Right.
Which, by the way, like you said, you have to have a backbone of your own. You just can't be my role as manager is I'm an extension of the GM. And that's what it felt like he was.
Yep.
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494.
And Gabe's listening to the show today? Did he roll back past?
I'm really glad we're talking about this.
Did he roll back past some of his old stumping grounds?
Well, he did say he wanted to go to three coffee shops in Northern Liberties where he used to live.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yes, see, there you go.
Yeah, he used to. I remember Pat Gallen texting me one morning at one of the places over by Northern Liberties, the gyms, and he's like, "Gabe Kapler's doing squats right now." I'm looking at him.
Mark,
why are you texting me that, man? Just go do your workout. Leave the poor guy alone.
Oh, he was in the gym with him?
Yes. Yeah, Pat's going over
to
a machine.
Go work out. Yeah, why are you in here texting people? Go work out, man.
At least he didn't take a picture of him.
Right.
215-592.
That was on my next question. Like, did he take a picture of him?
I wish he would have, but he didn't, though. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. Gabe Kapler coming back to town tonight as the manager of the Giants. He was asked about the reception he thinks he'll get tonight. What does Gabe think? You'll hear that coming up next. And your phone calls, because this city wasn't fair to Gabe Kapler looking back at it, and you should acknowledge and recognize that today by calling us at 215-592-9494.
You don't acknowledge my acknowledgement of it.
Mock Draft Central with Jack Fritz. That's coming up at 245. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
What kind of reception do you think you're going to get from fans?
I don't know. It's not something that I don't want to say like thought about it. I have, but I'm like making that prediction is I just don't know where to begin.
So he even admits that he has thought about it.
Sure he did. He thinks about everything.
I know he does. He's a thoughtful gentleman.
Yes.
He has thought about it, and you can tell that he has anxiety for what he believes will happen. He's not stupid.
Where he's happy is only about 8,000, 10,000 people going to be there. He's happy about that.
Instead of 20 or 25?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a Monday-Tuesday game, Monday-Tuesday-Wednesday series. And, Yeah, there's a limit to how many people are coming in. But you like you can if you watch the video, he definitely Jack, would you agree? You saw the video. He definitely like you can tell there was anxiety just even talking about it. He went on longer than that, but it's something he has spoken about. The average robot like would just be like, "Oh no, I don't think about
Can't
that."
Worry
I just
about
yeah,
that.
No. He's showing you that he's vulnerable coming back here, Phillies fan.
He's vulnerable.
He is.
He's coming back
him.
With his arms wide open, like just hey, well, we should you know, let's
an emotional
end how this,
warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you were going tonight, would you let out a hearty boo, or how would you handle it?
It would not be a hearty boo.
I would not boo him.
No,
I would obnoxiously cheer.
I would cheer.
I like that idea. I love it.
I would give him a standing O. You know, just so everyone knows that you know he tried.
I don't know if I would go standing O.
Oh, it'd be awesome. just to see how mad people.
But I would. I would. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think there'll be a smattering of boos, just because you know it's been a while since people have been able to give a good hearty boo.
I know.
So you have a few of those, but I think they will be drowned out in the end by a round of applause. Not necessarily standing up and cheering for. He didn't do anything to be stood up and cheered for, but I think as a manager that was here for 2 years, and he didn't. They weren't embarrassing under him. For those 2 years, it's not like he was Ryan Sandberg or who else was here after Charlie up?
Pete McKinnon.
Pete McKinnon, or you know, I actually like Pete McKinnon.
I did too.
But I'm just saying, I don't.
No, Ryan Sandberg was a disaster.
Oh, you know, he wasn't Doug Collins, right? You know, even Doug even played here, and Doug still irritated me in his final year.
Oh my God, we couldn't get him out of here fast enough. It was a love affair year one, and then it was over really quick
when he quit running through his sneakers for everybody. But Gabe, here's what I think, and it's funny because we're doing this show right leading up to the game as we get closer. I think John, as we continue to go through the show today, I think people will find a soft spot in their heart for Gabe tonight.
So, like, while people are on their drive down to Citizens Bank Park listening to us, of course, they're going to be like, you know what?
Maybe we were a little bit hard on him.
Yes.
And they're going to give him a round of applause tonight.
There should be some sort of appreciation for Gabe Kapler. Not that, like I said, like I'm not asking anybody.
I don't need
anybody,
a standing O.
Right, I mean, I'm not saying that anybody should, like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been let go, right? Like, you are hired to be fired. If you don't have success, even if it's not your fault, you're out. They bring somebody else in. And I was totally fine with the decision to do that, right? Like, that was fine with me. But I have an appreciation for Gabe Kapler just based on his 2 years here. He was an interesting guy. He never ripped the fans or anything like that. He did what almost every manager does, which is support his players and not throw his players under the bus, and that drove people crazy. It drove people crazy. And Joe Girardi's doing the same thing, and no one's reacting because Joe Girardi keeps it short and sweet. Right? Like, Gabe wanted to talk and wanted to explain to you why he wasn't going to do this. And, like, he wanted to be thoughtful, and then people and then irritated
when,
people.
And that's when he became irritating.
Yes.
That's when he irritated me. I don't need to hear how hard he's trying. Like, this isn't Little League. This isn't high school. I don't need to hear how hard Michael Franco, Mikey, is trying over there at third base. Like, I don't need to hear that nonsense. And that's what Gabe would throw out there. Curveball machine. Like, Gabe, knock it off. I don't need to hear that.
Dude, we were at the ballpark today, the curveball machine.
That was fun. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And this would have saved Gabe, I believe. And I don't. We're not following him day to day out there in San Francisco, so I don't know how he handles, you know, losing or losing streak or what have you with his players. But there was a part of Gabe managing that the players didn't buy into, John, and they started disrespecting him. And by disrespecting him, they disrespected us as fans. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is because they didn't respect him as a manager, they didn't hustle. They scoffed and laughed at his idea of using a curveball machine where only Sean Rodriguez and Bamboo Miller showed up.
And Bryce laughed at him.
Yeah, Bryce laughed at him, right? And then I got Nick Williams, who's a nobody, talking about, you know, tongue-in-cheek, I guess we're going to put the lineup together with a laptop or an iPad or whatever he said, a video game. That's mocking the manager. That's showing your lack of respect for the manager. And you know these guys had to have these conversations when they were huddled up together, when they were in the clubhouse, when he wasn't around. When he wasn't around. What is this clown going to do today? Like, who's in the lineup today? Who's batting today? Who's closing today?
There was some eye rolling.
You know it was, because they kept doing the same stuff. That lets you know that they didn't respect him.
When we were in spring training, we interviewed the guys before his first year, and there was eye roll. There was some eye rolling that was going on.
We saw those firsthand.
We saw it firsthand when we asked them about how, you know, switching outfielders around in the outfield and doing stuff like that. And it was the eye roll and, whatever we can do to win, we're willing to try or whatever else. I mean, unfortunately, the guys didn't necessarily buy into what he was selling them, right? And, like, the curveball machine and everything else. Like I say, it was time for Gabe to go. I'm totally fine with that. But, you know, like, looking back at Gabe Kapler, I mean, people are going to boo him tonight, Ike.
You think so?
People are going to boo. He will be booed tonight. Jack, do you agree?
If he makes too many trips out there to that mound, he will get booed.
I mean, Freddie Galvis got a standing ovation, so right. I hope that Gabe will get a little bit of love, but I don't think.
Getting a video tribute?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
If Matt's in charge of it, he will get one. I feel so uncomfortable with that one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
That's all uncomfortable.
There you go. In unison. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Let's give her a Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. When you're shopping for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, buy from the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Shop local with Mark's Jewelers. Their website is marks-jewelers.com. Just put the booing question up, Ike. Or Jack?
Yeah, Ike, put this booing
overall,
question.
Overall, we asked you. Oh, I don't know why I said Ike.
Yeah, don't put. Yeah, I'm not putting that up.
Overall, was this city fair to Gabe Kapler? Yes or no? And it's 58-42 right now, saying yes. So it's closer than I thought. But like your reaction tonight to Gabe Kapler, at worst, should be no reaction. He just
we getting a reaction?
He's not deserving of the boo.
But he's deserving of a reaction.
That's fine. You can have a reaction, but it shouldn't be like he never did anything, in my opinion, to be booed. Not now. During a game, whatever, right? Like, we're reacting to what's going on in the game. I'm totally fine with whatever you want to do during the game. But now when he's coming back, he's not boo-worthy. If you're going down and you're booing him tonight, that says more about you than him. How about that? All right, let's go to the phones. We have Tom.
What does that say about me?
If you were to boo him?
Right.
Say you're a bad person. You have no. Why would you boo him? Seriously.
Because he spits out his ice cream. That's why. That's enough to be booed for right there.
Okay, if you wanted to boo him for the potato chip thing or whatever, that's fine. Let's go to Tom in Delaware. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Johnny, let me say something just starting out first.
Yes.
I really respect you. You're a good guy. You have never, ever gotten me so angry in my entire life. Who are you to judge this fan base? That guy did not. He was not a leader of men. He got exactly what he deserves. He got axed on all those things Ike's talking about. Let me make another point. A boo, for me, is like a really, really important person. I give up my boo for a reason. Gabe Kapler never registered on my radar. You hear me, Johnny? You're judging me.
Except you're calling in at the angriest you've ever been at me. So obviously you're full of it.
I am calling because I am the angriest at you that I've ever been because I am a Philly guy. You understand? You came at me. You came at the Philly fan. You're questioning the integrity, not the integrity, the judgment. This guy's not getting anything from me. He needed to go. Johnny, I love you to death. I think your partner there, Ike Reese, is the best.
Thank you for your service, Ike.
Again. What about the producer?
Yeah, absolutely. You need him, Johnny Marks, except – for the very simple fact that you might get booed caught walking down the street. So I'm just saying, Johnny, I love you. I think you do a great job. But, dude, don't come at the neck of the Philadelphia.
But you're not really explaining what I said that was wrong. I think the people that hated Gabe Kapler and were obsessed with calling in or just hating them and criticizing them, I think you were unfair because it was a flawed team. And the biggest issue with the Phillies over Gabe Kapler's two seasons wasn't Gabe Kapler. It was the general manager. It was the roster. It was the president of baseball operations who wasn't even the president of baseball operations. It was much bigger than him. It wasn't just him, Tom.
Can I make my point with a question?
Yes.
Let me ask you a personal, not a personal question, but a question about your real, genuine impressions of how he handled himself as a man, as a leader of men, in front of our man, Cataldi. How did he handle that?
I thought he. And by the way, coming up at 3:30.
Yes.
So at 3:30, and then we'll run the other one back in the 4 o'clock hour. Gabe Angelo every week. It was on a Wednesday, I think. Was must listen radio. Was appointment radio.
Oh yeah.
Every week.
Loved it.
I'm looking down at my phone to put on the Odyssey app, and I'm saying like, oh, is it 9 o'clock yet? Right. If I miss it, I'm listening on demand. Let me answer your question, and I'm actually going to totally like you think you're making a point, but you're not. Gabe Kapler answered the bell every week against Angelo. This isn't a Doug Peterson interview where Doug's coming on and there's a couple questions and Angelo asks the tough questions and he's going. Angelo not only pressed Gabe, sometimes he attacked him. Right? Like there were contentious interviews. We're going to play one at 3:30. Angelo Gabe part one. I mean, this is the reason why you listen to radio is Gabe against Angelo. You hold it against him, I give him credit for it. He stood up to Angelo. Whether you think he was right or wrong, he answered the bell. He came on. He answered the questions every week from Angelo for you, the fan, to listen to. And you want to rip him for it? It's more the reason. You're proving why you're wrong, Tom. He came on every week on the air with Angelo, and he answered every tough question. And Angelo was tough on Gabe every week for 2 years. So I don't know how you think that that's you know, for your case of being like, yeah, how do you think he handled himself? I think he handled himself with class, and he stood up for himself. I don't know. Let's go to EJ. EJ in West Philly. Hi, EJ.
The living legend, Johnny Moore.
Oh, it's EJ.
Never afraid of Philly when the guns spark. And Mr. Reese, the man about town, guaranteed that Ike Juice going to knock your butt down. What's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling today?
How are
man?
You, EJ?
What's up, EJ?
Muy mucho importante. Muy bien, mi amigo. You live up Kensington in the Badlands for 3 years. You'll learn a little Spanish if you want to survive.
What's up, brother?
Love it.
Let me say this, man. Philadelphia, as the great Mike Schmidt said, is the only city in the world where you can experience the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it the next day. Are we fair? We fair to Doug Peterson when I got to explain to my autistic son when we go to Xfinity Live. We have and a player that got a statue outside the stadium and neither one of them are there. Are we fair to Ben Simmons who could walk on water in front of a million people and half the Sixers fan base would say it's because the bum can't swim? Come on, y'all. Are we fair? No, we aren't fair. We're psychotical, fanatical fans who live vicariously through our sports heroes, bro. And when they fail, we fail. And we get upset and we get angry and we do things like what Ray Rhodes said back in the day, what I won't repeat. Come on, bro. This is Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, are you good is a threat. Come on, man. This is real. And Ike, I'm going to tell you how real it is. I'm going to go back in the day, throw back Thursday on you. I don't know if it was the week of the Super Bowl or the week before the Super Bowl, but you was doing a Pro Bowl appearance at Chicken and Pete's. And me and my homies came up to you with a bag full of Minnesota Viking throwback jerseys that we had snatched off of Viking fans that was stupid enough to come to Philly and go clubbing. And we presented it to you as a trophy of our esteem and appreciation to you. And you looked at me like you had eight heads and said, yo, you better give that to Trot because he liked them throwback jerseys. Do you remember that?
I do not remember that, EJ. I'm sorry.
It seemed like a pretty memorable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm sitting here listening to it, EJ. Like, wow, really? That's pretty good. I should have remembered that. I've been hitting the head a lot.
That. But you know, Ike, at that time, I was a lot less, how should we say, politically correct and socially acceptable back then. And I probably had more gold chains than anybody on the Eagles team and was smelling and looking like, well, I don't think I should be talking to this guy. And I usually surrounded myself with a dangerous crowd of young men who would do whatever I say. And luckily for me, I always pointed them in the right direction. But as far as your question, no, we wasn't fair to Gabe Kapler. But again, this is Philadelphia, man. We want to win. And we don't fix the problem. We fix the blame.
All right. All right, EJ, be good,
that's
man.
A lot to digest, EJ.
Well, I mean, he's right. He's right.
Which part?
We are the fanatic and fan, right? Like we really are. We are. It's not just sports to us; it's life. And like he's right. Like that's how it's not unusual for us to be unfair to players, coaches, general managers, whatever else. And I like with Gabe Kapler, it wasn't just about the Phillies' performance. It wasn't just about how many games that they won. It wasn't just about that. It was about Gabe Kapler. He just wasn't, like, I don't know. He would have been Larry Boa flipping tables in the clubhouse. Yeah. Oh, you can't fire Gabe Kapler. You got to keep him here. It was because his personality and how he spoke.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that eliminated any benefit of a doubt that he would be given. But I think where you get the intensity that came along with the criticism of Gabe Kapler was that Gabe was also he would not give in. He would not relent. He would not meet us halfway. I mean, almost to the point where it almost seemed like he had to be told, you got to go out there and be a little critical of the guys. You can't be that honest. Like, he was given that from upstairs. After the first year, when that was a big sticking point with everybody, it was almost like they had to sit him down and say, Gabe, now you may have to be a little critical from time. I know it makes you feel uncomfortable, but if you want to get these people off your neck, this is what you're going to need to do. Because here's why I say that was a bigger issue. Because when things didn't go well and you did lose a game or a guy wasn't hitting or fielding well or what have you, you didn't seemingly hold them accountable. You made excuses.
Yep.
That drove people crazy.
Drove me crazy.
That drove people crazy. So it's not just him seeming as if he's smarter than everyone. That's only a byproduct of it. It's really, you don't want to hold people accountable because it's more important to you that they like you, that you're the likable manager, because they certainly aren't respecting you by responding to your coaching and the things that you want. That's how you respect a coach. You go out there and do what he's asking
you to do. You don't do it again when you know he's getting in major crap because
exactly. He's
supporting you after you don't hustle and you do it again 2 weeks later.
Exactly.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
And even after that happened, he still went out and defended.
Dude, I'm telling you, towards the end, and we'll get to the mock draft in a second, towards the end, I think he got counsel to, hey, listen, you need, at least need to, like, you don't need to rip your player, but at least need to acknowledge it.
Yes.
But I firmly believe that it was Gabe's nature to have his players back, and Matt Klentak or whoever else gave him bad counsel and had his back and said, that's how we're going to do it.
Yep.
All right, it is less than, what, 10 days away?
We are.
From the NFL draft. Ike Reese, I can feel it right now. Let's go to Jack Fritz. He's in the Mock Draft Central control room with a mock draft, Jack.
Yes, and this one is from CBS Sports, Ryan Wilson. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, who had a weird weekend. He kind of came out and said what he said about not having a chip on his shoulder and then said he loves football in a tweet. It was a weird weekend for Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson, too. Then it finally gets interesting. Mac Jones, number 3. Although
sticking with Mac Jones, huh?
He is now plus 300 to be picked there, and Justin Fields is the odds-on favorite. So that's the latest play's betting odds there. Mm-hmm. Number 4, the Falcons take Kyle Pitts.
I talked to somebody from our sister station down in Atlanta, Hughes Station, the game, and the buzz down there is they're going to trade out of it. That pick is very much for sale.
Trade out
of
it, yeah.
Yep. So it's a spot to get a quarterback if you're looking for one. All right, Jack.
Yep. And then number 5, the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase. And in the description, it's just the Bengals should take Penei Sewell, but they're going to take Ja'Marr Chase.
Which everybody can pretty much say, okay, I could see that happening.
Yep. Sounds about right. 6, Jalen Waddle to the
Miami
Dolphins.
Waddle at 6?
Yeah. All right, now.
Holy moly.
So they wanted Chase.
Holy moly.
But see, they'll take Pitts there before, right?
Well, he got Pitts going to Atlanta.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so 6. That's a bad spot for Miami unless they're going to trade back.
Well, that's why Howie made the trade. You see, he was playing chess while everyone else playing checkers. Everyone
yeah, we'll
knows
see.
That.
We'll see.
Well, but Miami had to be willing to take one of these receivers, and they didn't want to stay at 12.
Right.
So they must want a receiver being up there at 6.
They're rooting the 4 quarterbacks go in the first 4 picks. Yeah.
Number 7, the Lions take Justin Fields, even with Jared Goff, which is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
I don't know. And by the way, I have now that the scuttlebug around the league with the 49ers is it's either Trey Lance or Mac Jones. That's what Peter.
Trey
I think
Lance
Peter King
has
was
jumped
saying.
In there, huh?
Yeah. Who knows? I don't believe any of it. Go ahead, Jack.
8, Penei Sewell to the Panthers.
sound like a smart pick. Matt Rhule, smart football coach.
Well, he knows the games are won and lost in the trenches, so makes sense. Number nine, the Broncos take Patrick Surtain the second.
Yeah. Mike, I'm seeing a lot of this. Surtain goes nine.
I mean, he's a top 10 player.
The Eagles have to trade the nine if they can do it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Well, not the Broncos want him.
Yeah, it depends how much the Broncos want him. But, yeah, I agree. 10, the Cowboys take J.C. Horn.
So we don't get either corner.
No. Everything's fine.
So we're not going to have
– And we are starting to hear the Cowboys like J.C. Horn a lot more. Starting to hear that more.
Sounds about right. 11, the Giants take Rashawn Slater.
Oh, so the Giants make a sensible pick and go O-line.
Even though they're locked into Devontae Smith. So we'll see. And then finally, the Eagles pick Devontae Smith Jr. I don't know, he's not even a junior. That's my bad. But Devontae Smith, number 12 overall, with Quiddy Pay on the board. Micah Parsons on the board.
So where does Justin Fields go?
Well, he said Detroit.
Detroit took him. That's all. So all the quarterbacks go except Mac Jones. Or did Mac Jones go?
Mac Jones goes three.
So all the quarterbacks are gone, and they still, at least they get a wide receiver there with the 12th pick. Yeah, I don't know. All right, they're the mock drafts. There you go. I am so we're going to talk to Baldy coming up at 4 o'clock. He's going to, because really for me it's coming down to a corner or defensive player. Corner could be an edge rusher. Could be. I mean, who knows? Who knows what the Eagles are going to do? But it feels like most people think it's a wide receiver or a corner until they take an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. So we'll talk about all that with Baldy coming up at 4 o'clock. I hope it's a corner or a wide receiver.
Really, here's what I'll tell you. I guarantee the Eagles haven't told anyone who they're drafting. So these are just people that are they're guessing as well as looking at information they may have on another team. You got to remember last year, the Eagles, I don't know if they were putting it out there or someone else was, but for some reason, everybody thought they were going to take a linebacker last year. And all they were doing was making sure no one took their guy.
Unfortunately.
They had who they wanted.
Yep.
Jalen Reagor.
They did.
That's who they wanted.
Yeah, and it was Patrick Queen. They're interested in a linebacker.
Kenneth Murray or this, that, and the other. So, you know, and meanwhile, they knew all along who they wanted, which I believe that's the case here. And come next Thursday night, we'll be scratching our head when Quiddy Pay is announced as the Eagles pick.
Yep. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean,
if 20 out of 27 drafts have been offensive linemen or defensive linemen.
We're due for a non-offensive lineman or defensive lineman.
Oh, no, that means that's what they're going to take.
At least trade back if you're going to take one of these guys. Don't take them at 12.
How are you going to take the best defensive end in the draft?
Please, no.
Well, now there's a lot of that Christian Barmore.
Please, no.
Hey, can't wait to
get another
him.
Guy in the trenches.
I've heard Quiddy Pay compared to Brandon Graham, and I love Brandon Graham, but we already have one of them. I don't know if we need another, Ike.
Yeah, but he is getting up there.
Yes, he is. You need to replace him.
Do you think Quiddy Pay will take 5 years to?
Yeah, that's the point right there. Yeah, you don't want him to have the same arc that.
You want somebody that's good right off the bat. Yeah. Awesome. All right, today it was announced that the Eagles, or it was announced yesterday, Eagles won't be participating in OTAs. Interesting.
What's the over and under on wins again? 6.5?
6.5, 7.
Yeah, take that under.
Well, at least the rest of the league's pretty much doing the same thing. But is it a good idea? We will get Ike's perspective on the Eagles not going to voluntaries. That's coming up right after this. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, if you're looking for a new Acura, then you need to visit my friends at Elite Acura right now. They need to make room on their lot for the brand new Acuras, which means you can take advantage of big savings on all remaining 2020s. Especially MDXs. Shop and save on one of the biggest MDX selections you'll find anywhere. And right now, lease a new 2020 MDX SH all-wheel drive for $369 a month. Plus, Elite Acura is excited to officially introduce the brand new 2022 Acura MDX. Now, it's the most luxurious MDX Acuras ever released, with some exceptional upgrades, I might add. But don't take my word for it. Stop in and take one for a test drive yourself. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced Acura can make only at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage. Drive home your brand new Acura today. Head over to Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Look for the billboard or shop their entire inventory online 24/7 at eliteacura.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.